This is Dear Hallmark. Each week, I'll bring you reviews of your favorite Hallmark movies and TV shows. So grab a drink and let's see what we're getting into with this episode. Hello, friends. My name is Dara. I am the host for this podcast, Dear Hallmark. And I am really excited to be with you today. I'll say cheers to you whenever you're listening to this, whatever you're doing as you're listening to this. Thank you for tuning in. A little bit about Dear Hallmark. Dear Hallmark is my space where I can talk about all the things Hallmark Channel, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, Great American Family, Up TV. And you might hear me get a little bit passionate about some things, but just know it's because I care deeply. I care deeply about these movies. So I wanted to talk with you guys more so on a personal level about my relationship with Hallmark movies and just kind of where I've been these past couple of weeks in my headspace. So it's been very interesting to be a Hallmark viewer, a Hallmark fan for someone like myself. And when I say someone like myself, that could mean so many different things. But in this context, I'm speaking specifically of just someone who is corny. I'm an incredibly corny individual. I'm so corny. It's not even funny. But I miss the feels of Hallmark. I was looking back over my ranking because I keep a living document on my phone after each week where I'll just, you know, rank the movies. And so over this past week, I kind of just looked at it. I opened it and I saw that I would only watch 2 out of the 12 movies that were on the list that I saw, which is unfortunate. It's really unfortunate for me, just in terms of my taste as it pertains to Hallmark movies. I think a good example of a movie, I'll just say Made for Each Other. Made for Each Other is a movie that's high on my list because I can't deny that it's not a good story. And I think because I'm someone who looks for the story of it all, I love a good story. On top of the story, it's the feels, you know? And I haven't been getting those feels lately, you guys. However, this past Saturday, I decided to go into the Hallmark Movies Now channel on my Amazon Prime Video app. And I decided to watch an oldie but goodie, My Secret Valentine. And I watched this movie because I was thinking of compiling a certain type of Fave 5 list. And I didn't want to put it on the list not having it fresh in my mind to see if I still feel the same way. And so I rewatched it on a beautiful, rainy, overcast Saturday morning here in the Northeast. And dang it, that movie did what it was supposed to do. It gave me such the cozy feels. I mean, of course, I rolled my eyes at the conflict at the end. And I said, girl, bye. You don't mean that. She says, like, she doesn't like him. I know that goes without saying. Like, that's one thing, honestly, I don't miss about the older Hallmark movies are those stupid conflicts at the end. I'm sorry, stupid is a strong word. But those conflicts at the end were aggravating. That aside, though, there was something so cozy and comforting about this movie And I think this may become a thing for me. Like, if I don't have much going on a Saturday and I can take it slow, I think I'm going to just throw in a throwback, you know? And I think that will offset the lack of feels that I've been getting in the more contemporary Hallmark movies. Which is why I'm super appreciative for Hallmark movies now, that we're able to have the archive. You know, we have a place where we can go to see older ones, even though they're on a rotation, because they don't have everything on there, but they do have quite the stock. They add new ones every month, so, and then they take some away as well. So, yeah, but I think that's going to become a part of my Saturday routine, if you will, because I know for me, if I don't do that, and the more that I watch these movies and I find that I don't connect with them, it could probably make me more frustrated as a viewer. And I don't want that because I want my Hallmark viewing to be pleasant because I love Hallmark movies, you know? And so I think balancing the newer Hallmark movies with the older ones through Hallmark Movies Now is kind of a good anecdote for what I've been going through. Because I don't know if you guys could tell within these past few episodes, but it's been pretty frustrating for me. And even with Winning Team with Christopher Palaha, which is what we're going to talk about soon, it's been hard over here. I'm not gonna lie. Now, that's not why I didn't do a podcast episode last week. It was something completely personal. But I just kind of wanted to give you the State of the Union as it stands. It's including a picture of her. We are officially 13 movies in with Hallmark. And to me, for me, it's been rough out here in these streets. It's been rough, man. And so I say all that to say that I'm grateful for Hallmark Movies Now. And I'm grateful that I have that as an outlet, which is wild. Like, guys, I was yearning for an Up TV movie. Like, how wild is that? I mean, granted, Up TV is good in its own right, but it felt weird for me to want to watch an Up TV movie rather than a Hallmark movie, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's kind of where I am with that's kind of the status of my Hallmark viewership. So, what we are going to do, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be I don't know if I want to talk about the winning team or a picture of her. I guess we'll find out when we come back from commercial, won't we? You guys stay tuned. Welcome back, my friends. So, let's first talk about the winning team, or a winning team. This movie stars Nadia Hatta and Christopher Palaha. And the gist of this movie is that you have a very bullheaded, winning focused, determined professional soccer player who is bent on being the best at everything she does. She is so bent that she ends up getting into it with a ref at a game and is ejected. And that ejection spurs Spurs events where the head coach suspends her, indefinitely from the team. And so with that, she ends up going home to her brother and her niece. And straight out the gate, what I appreciated about this movie is the Asian family. I believe they were Chinese, if I'm not mistaken. And I really appreciated that. She was mad intense, you guys. Well, let me continue on a little bit with the synopsis. So she gets home, right? And the coach for her niece's soccer team incurred an injury. And so she began to take over as coach. And who is her niece's soccer coach but Christopher Palaha? They bump heads for a lot of it, but then they begin to work together and then grow an affection for one another. And then, boom, shamalamalam, they love each other, you know? Or they feel each other. So this movie, she was so intense for me. As a leading lady, she was incredibly intense. Highly unlikable in the beginning. The more she took to Christopher Palaha's character, the more I dug her as a woman. I loved how much the movie focused on their growing affection for one another. They were too cute together. And this is one of the many reasons why Christopher Palaha is one of my Mount Rushmore actors of Hallmark, is because the dude is too smooth. He's too suave. He could, like, and respectfully, outside of Jill Wagner, I feel like this is one of the women that I saw match his energy. And I really appreciated it. Because Christopher be putting it on thick as Chucky Peanut Butter. I'm talking Jif, Peter Pan, Skippy, all of the brands, okay? And this was the first time I saw someone match that energy. And I appreciated it. They were so cute together. The little flirtation stations, what's your nation? Like, I really appreciated it. I really, really did. There was a scene where she was supporting her niece trying out for drama at the community theater. And so the parents weren't allowed and she's trying to take a peek. And so Christopher Palaha's character puts her up on his, like she's sitting around his neck as he hoists her up to the window. And he sneezes. And she ends up hitting her head to the window. Like, the comedy in this was really cool, too. It was some really cool comedy in this. One of my favorite scenes, though, one of my favorite scenes, and she killed it, was when they were doing a team bonding exercise, and you found out she was afraid of heights. And she was walking across this bridge that was barely a bridge. And she had a moment where she was deathly afraid. And you just see Christopher Palaha's character encouraging her, telling her to keep coming. You could do it. Just look at me. And I loved it so much. It was so great. She played the mess out of that scene, you guys. She played the mess out of that scene. And I loved it. I loved it. Her niece was so cute. I loved their relationship. I liked that she was an older child. She wasn't a young sprite, you know what I mean? Like a nine or... I liked that she was older. I also think having an older niece helped match the energy that Nadia was bringing to the character as well. I think it was right to have the niece that old. And I really, really, I enjoyed the movie, but it didn't give me feels, you guys. And this is after watching this movie, that was when I kind of took stock at like, yo, man, I miss my feels. Like, I really do miss my feels. And you may be saying, okay, Dara, what movies so far this year has given you feels? The two that I would rewatch that I mentioned earlier that for me gave me feels were Sweeter Than Chocolate and A Paris Proposal. Those by far are the perfect marriage of a contemporary Hallmark movie that still has feels to it. A Paris Proposal is my favorite one to rewatch because it isn't a strictly Valentine's Day one, even though I loved Up and Down, Sweeter Than Chocolate. And I can appreciate Hallmark for this. I can say that, you know, while A Paris Proposal wasn't explicitly and overtly Valentine's Day themed, it still stuck. You still felt the love through the movie. You still felt, there was a sense of comfort for me too in A Paris Proposal. And so that kind of edged out Sweeter Than Chocolate for me as my favorite movie of the year so far. So A Paris Proposal is my favorite movie of the year so far, with Sweeter Than Chocolate second. So I'm missing my feels though. I am a lot. And I know we're in Spring Into Love now, and we have 6 movies on Hallmark Channel coming our way. A Picture of Her, which we're going to talk about soon. Then we have Love in the Maldives, A Professional Bridesmaid. Oh, I'm doing these by memory. Wedding Cottage. There's one more. And then there's Hearts in the Game. Oh, gosh. It's Professional Bridesmaid. A Pinch of Portugal. There we go. I'm doing this by memory. So it's A Picture of Her, Love in the Maldives, The Professional Bridesmaid, The Wedding Cottage, A Pinch of Portugal, and then ending Spring Into Love is the Aaron Cahill, Marco Grazzini, Hearts in the Game, which used to be called The Spin Cycle. But you'll learn about that in the Spring Into Love preview that will be coming out. Well, you guys, as a crown, it's so hard to give crown ratings now. It's become increasingly hard to give crown ratings to these movies. The deeper we get into the year, I am going to give a winning team 3.5 crowns. It is a solid movie with a solid story, and I appreciated and loved so much what Christopher Palaha and Nadia Hata did and their chemistry. But I really think the intensity of the leading lady and the intensity of Nadia's character, along with the lack of feels, really knocked it down 2.5 crowns for me. So that's where my heart belongs as it pertains to a winning team. We're going to take a micro break. And when I come back, we are going to talk about the first Spring Into Love movie, which is A Picture of Her. So stay tuned. Welcome back, my friends. Smooth Jazz Radio Dara is back. And can I tell you that I am loving this vibe? It's something about recording podcasts at night. It just It makes me play into my dream of being a jazz radio DJ. So I'm kind of living my dream right now through recording this episode. Y'all probably like, what the heck is going on? And why is Dara talking like a smooth operator? No, but let's get into the picture of her. A picture of her. Starring Rhiannon Fish and Tyler Hines. Straight out the gate, the opening was mad different. It was mad different than anything that we've seen. And I don't know how to feel about it yet. Not saying that I didn't like it. I was just like, okay. And it was interesting because I noticed that Tyler's name was first in the credits, which is interesting because at least I always thought the woman's name would be first because they're number one on the call sheet, but I don't know how that works. So in any event, a picture of her, frankly put, is about a young woman named Beth whose picture a photographer took ends up on the front page of a magazine, and she gets a little piece of fame and she doesn't quite know how to take it. And she meets this guy named Jake who she's grown fond of over the course of this movie. And it's, you guys, I like this movie. And I didn't want to say it in the last segment because I wanted to save it for this segment, but I had feels in this movie. I was like, yes, the feels are back. The feels are back. So this would be number three. A Paris Proposal was still just it for me. And this is rare because I normally don't tell you guys my ranking ahead of time because I do like a mid-year, right? Like during Christmas in July is when I give you guys my mid-year ranking, since we're not getting any new non-seasonal non-holiday content, you know what I mean? So I don't know what it is while I'm telling you guys this, but I just feel like I have to. So this movie is taking the bronze medal for me for the year right now. I was nervous seeing Rhiannon and Tyler together at first, not gonna lie. Seeing it on paper and then seeing the previews, I was a little nervous. I love Rhiannon up and down. I love her. The first movie I ever saw of hers was A Love to Remember, which stars my Up TV homie. I forget his name all day and night because he was also, if you guys remember Just One Kiss, he was the husband of our leading lady who she was trying to divorce. Him. Rhiannon and him did a movie together and they were so dang cute. And I said, who is this? And I've been following her and loving her ever since. So I just never saw Tyler and Rhiannon together, but I appreciated them in this movie. This movie definitely had spring feels with all of the flowers. So I am super appreciative to Hallmark for that. Like, this is a spring movie. This is what I need. Now I'm nervous with the Maldives because that looks like a summer movie. And then you'll find out why I'm nervous about The Professional Bridesmaid in the Spring Into Love preview show. I won't speak on that, but yeah. Okay, so let's call out a couple of scenes. Rhiannon is beautiful. I mean, the woman can take a picture, can she not? Can we just all agree on that? That she can really take a picture? And I appreciate what I felt like she brought out of Tyler. I feel like she was refreshing, bubbly. She had a lot of personality. And that's what I love about Rhiannon in general. She brings so much personality to any role that she takes on. And I love it. And it's so interesting that she's around water again. I'm like, this woman is always around water. We just saw her in a movie earlier this year on Great American Family. It was like a royal something or other. She's on a beach, doing the dang on that. We saw her in Splash of Love. I don't know. She's always in the outdoors or doing something outdoors. Her Christmas movie for UpTV, she was in a log cabin in some type of abyss of wood. So, yeah. But I enjoyed it. And I could definitely see myself rewatching this. Tyler, he was in this movie, right? So, no. I'm just joshing. No, Tyler, he gave a certain energy that I feel like is consistent with his performances in these movies. But I could tell there was something different about this one. And I think, honestly, Rhiannon was the X factor. It was something about him and Rhiannon's chemistry that I really enjoyed. And every time Rhiannon was on screen, I would be smiling. Because, you guys, she's one of my faves. She really is. She's one of my faves. And I'm liking that I'm seeing her more on Hallmark. Hopefully we get another Nikki and Nora from her. But I like that we're seeing more of her on Hallmark. I do. This movie is good. I'm going to give this movie a smooth 4 crowns. And only 4 because I really wish that they would have pressed into him telling her that he's the photographer when they were on that bench and he gave her the book or the photo frame or whatever it was. Because that was a moment. That was a moment. And I wish he would have leaned into it. And that moment broke. I was like, dang. Because that's what I loved so much about that UpTV movie that I raved about quite a few episodes ago called Mixed Baggage when I did my Flirty February wrap up. That's what I liked about it. Everything when you... Okay, I hope I can articulate this correctly. What happened in this movie with him carrying out that he wasn't... that he was the photographer to the end is what I thought was going to happen in Mixed Baggage, and it didn't. And so when it looked like what happened in Mixed Baggage was going to happen here, I said, oh, personal good time. I was excited, right? But they instead went the other route of perpetuating the lie further. Which was unfortunate. It was unfortunate. I mean, us as the audience, we were in on it, of course. And sometimes I like that. I'm also speaking from a reader's perspective, too, in a book. When the reader is in on something that another character is in on and another character doesn't know, you almost feel some type of way. And so I felt that same experience here as a viewer where... You know, we were in on it. It's like, dang, girl. Dang. You know? I mean, yeah, they had some kisses, man. Golly, bobcats in a can with a radish on the side. Like, what? They had some kisses. Tyler's just too cool. It's almost like blatantly disrespectful at this point. It's like, could you calm down? Okay. Like, could you just turn it off? Like, nobody asked you to be 32 degrees. It's springtime. I need you at a balmy 65, 70 degrees. He went all the way down to 32 and kept it too cool. But I mean, that's Tyler for you, right? Always Amore is still my favorite movie of his. But this might be second. I need to go back and ruminate and metacrate and chew on it. And yes, I said metacrate. I said that purposefully. But this might be a close second. I have to think more on that. But... By and large, I enjoyed watching this. this movie was bringing. I hope, I pray in the depths of my Hallmark heart that the vibe of this continues, because this is a spring into love movie. This is the energy that you bring when you say that we're springing into love. This is what I'm talking about. This is it. This is cool. I really appreciated it. I could totally see myself rewatching this multiple times. I probably will, within the next month, watch this at least once more. I know I will. Especially with Love in the Maldives. Oh, man. Have y'all seen those previews? Oh, we got to stretch our hands and pray for the second shut-in of the Love in the Maldives, y'all. They are on the second shut-in list. Oh, my word. I'm nervous about that movie. And let me make this clear. I love Jocelyn Houdon. I have been waiting for a Jocelyn Houdon Hallmark film. She is one of my favorites, and it is partly the reason why I love When Hope Calls over When Calls the Heart. This girl can bring it. She brings the feels. I love her. But this Maldivian action that we got going on, y'all, I can't call it. We're going to have to stretch our hands and pray. And listen, it could be a bad preview. I watched the sneak peek that Hallmark threw up on YouTube, because the sneak peek they showed during a picture of her was for Ride, which of course premiered this past weekend. But I am nervous. Y'all can watch the sneak peek up on YouTube if you haven't already. And on Friendly, I don't believe they showed a commercial of it. Also, too, there was one commercial break where I did the 40-yard dash to, like, get my food together, because I got hungry and I just put some food together and then got back just in time as the movie was coming on. So there's that. But I'm nervous for Love in the Maldives. And I'm segueing into that now, because there's really nothing for your weekend watching guide. Because, again, Up TV is calming down the romantic movies to usher us into the Easter season from the Christian perspective, from celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know what Great American Family is doing. Because, again, they started off so strong, and then they kind of just was like, all right, bye. Bye. I'll see you later. And they didn't even leave a note, say where they were going. You know what I'm saying? At least leave a note. Let me know where I can find you. But they didn't say nothing. So I can't call it. Well, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this smooth jazz radio version of Dear Hallmark. I'm telling you, it's something about recording podcasts at night that just puts me in a vibe, y'all. And I might mess around and do this. I just feel so relaxed. I'm able to think clearer. I talk slower so that I'm able to really think about what I'm saying. I say less ums, I realized, you know. Let me find out. This is about to be my new podcast recording time. Let me find out. Well, you guys, that's going to do it for me here at Dear Hallmark. Also, I want to just thank you guys so much for the reception that I've been receiving for the masterclasses. I'm so happy that you guys are enjoying them. It's truly been a treat for me. And it's been really fun for me to embark on this journey of creating this mini series of conversations, if you will. I don't even want to call them interviews, but conversations, kind of peeling back the curtain of what some of these roles are behind the scenes of these movies. So for the month of March, our masterclasses included director Brandon Clark from UpTV, and then we had one of the premier, in my eyes, premier Hallmark costume designers, Geraldine Detienne, and from the Wardrobe Girls. And I can't wait for you guys to hear April's masterclass. And I say that because the schedule of masterclasses, would you guys like that? Almost like a college syllabus. I can release the schedule of masterclasses so you guys know which masterclasses are coming up in the next 3 months, because that's how long they're going to be. I have masterclasses for the next 3 months. There's going to be two every month. I won't tell you the date, but I can tell you which month those masterclasses will be in, because I have solidified the last masterclass interview that I'm going to do. And so I'll probably have all of my masterclass people, if you will, professionals, interviewed by like the second or third week of April. And so it's just pretty gnarly. I think I just literally rode a wave. I kind of rode like the wind, bullseye. And so thank you guys so much for your positive feedback. And I'm just really, really excited. Really, really excited. And if you haven't already and you don't even know what I'm talking about, oh my goodness. If you see the words DH Masterclass on an episode, that's what I'm referring to. I talk to directors, costume designers. We're going to have a writer, producer, and I have some other roles that I don't want to give out just yet. But know that we really get in, okay? We get in, okay? So, you guys, that'll do it for me here. But this is my second close. You know we go through about 3 or 4 closes here. So this is my second. There are some links in the show notes. If you want to mosey around the home of Dear Hallmark via Instagram, you can follow me there. That's pretty much home base. That's where I do a lot of my shenanigans. And can I just say something, too? I just want to let everybody know, because I had a really good intro into my weekend. And I put this on Instagram too. And people can relate. Okay. I just leveled up a tier in my Chick-fil-A rewards. And it's like, it's a thing. Okay. I just want to thank God for providing me with the ducats that I need to purchase Chick-fil-A to level up in my rewards. Okay, I mean, I'm just out here being a human being loving Chick-fil-A, okay? I digress. So there are links in the show notes. There's an Instagram page. There's a Facebook page. There's a book that I wrote on Instagram that you can buy. There's a link in the show notes for that. There is a companion YouTube channel to this podcast where you will see my facial expressions. Now, the videos aren't recordings of these podcast episodes. The videos are separate. I record them separate and independent to the podcast. So you will get different feels, the facial expressions, all of that with the YouTube videos. And of course, the interviews that you hear here will be the YouTube videos that you see on the channel. But be sure you subscribe to both, because I know definitely during the Christmas season, y'all, I just throw up what I can and say, Merkram, okay? Merkram, that's what I say. Sometimes you'll get it on the podcast. Sometimes you'll get it on the YouTube, but here we are. This is my third close. This is Dara for Dear Hallmark signing off, saying ciao, my friends, and I'll talk to you guys in the next episode.